with this message that those terrorists are coming to get us next, which is absurd. Has any member of Hamas or anybody of a Palestinian come and threatened America as an American? No, that's not their, that's not what they're about.
سوف تعيش حالة لا ظلم فيها ولا قهر فيها ولا خيانة ولا
But that's the tactic that's used, is that we have to plaster them as being these jihadists when they're nothing like that.
Are they religious fanatics? Are they jihadis?
Not the people that I know.
وهو قاب قوسين او ادنى اربع سنوات اخواننا 2022 بكون خلصنا منهم اما الامر الثاني وهو اقامه الخلافه بعد ان تتعافى الامه من سرطانها وهو اليهود باذن الله سبحانه.
I would have voted for those guys because they weren't corrupt, they wanted to serve their people, and that's what it was about.
قلت وفي كل مره اكرر إن دماء الأطفال والنساء والشيوخ لا أقول تستصرخكم بل نحن الذين نحتاج هذه الدماء لكي توقظ فينا روح الثورة.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen anywhere. I'm not totally ingrained in the community, but the vibe there isn't one of wanting everybody to convert to Islam and forcing it upon them. At all.
والذي يستعد إن شاء الله تعالى لتحرير القدس وتحرير الأقصى والذي يستعد إن شاء الله تعالى نقولها بملء الفم يستعد لاحتضان الخلافة بعاصمتها القدس إن شاء الله تعالى ولن تكون القدس عاصمة لفلسطين فقط كدولة مستقلة وإنما ستكون عاصمة للخلافة يجب أن ننتفض كشعب فلسطيني وأن نتخلص من هذه أسباب الرعاية الخيانة والهمالة والعمالة لمن؟ لليهود والنصارى لمن يقتلون أبناء شعبكم لا يجوز يجب أن ننتفض.
And the purpose of Hamas is primarily to resist and to protect their people.
Not just Palestine and Israel where the Christian population has shrunk, it seems like throughout the Levant.
Yes. And I think that's part of the whole greater Israel project. You know, isn't it so ironic that they've made such a big thing?
Targeting Christians.
Targeting Christians, yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome on back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. Oh, man, it's been a great day. I tell you what, man, it's been a good day. You know how good of a day it's been? Oh, my God. I feel like another freaking embarrassment to our community ended up coming out. You know what I mean? Hey, what would you do if somebody that you worked with inside of a combat zone came out and gave away your security protocols, maybe the routes you traveled on, the amount of men you had, security rotations, the number of teams that you had on a site?
What we do as armed security, every day, we will take armored vehicles with armored personnel. We escort the trucks, the long trailer trucks, into Gaza through gate, which is right there near a little bit north of. If we're going to site four, we don't drive into Gaza and then drive Gaza to the site. We actually stay on the Israeli side and drive it on the Israeli side up to gate to deliver it to site four. When we get to the sites,
this is the best part. When he breaks down how many security teams they have on each site, he makes sure to tell everybody that because, you know, you want to make sure to tell everybody how many security teams are on your site and how often they rotate. That way you can count the vehicles that are going out and determine the amount of personnel that are going to be there and then determine how many you need to overrun a site, right? I mean, it's not like a lieutenant colonel that was in the special forces would know that by stating those things, he would be helping an enemy of the United States of America and just endangered the people on the ground in Gaza he said he loved and that he had respect for.
Every site has a team of guards that stay on the site 24 hours. We do a so every site is allocated static security teams, and they rotate. Then after rotations of that, a team gets. So you have teams dedicated to the site to rotate every four and then days off. And that's at every site. I know that there are seven of us in the entire world that have been to these sites. SRS people don't go to the sites. They're not authorized to. GHF doesn't go to the sites. They're not authorized to. The IDF don't go to the sites. They're not allowed on them. There are only seven people in this entire world. Actually, shame on you.
Well, it's a good thing he clarified how many people in the entire world, seeing how this mission for them hasn't really been going on that long. So one could pretty much figure out how many people are over there on the sites, you know, like, I mean, I don't know a better way of screwing your people over. You know, the army, we called them, and for a lack of better terms, you're gonna have to excuse me. I don't like to cuss a lot on this program. You know what? I can take it. We call them Buddy Effers or Blue Falcons. There we go. I can calm that. I can tone that statement down a little bit. I can't think of a better way to fuck your buddies over than to give up security information after claiming the day before that you have the utmost respect for them. You sent me a statement that said you had the utmost respect. Isn't that what you said? I don't know. Isn't that what your statement said, man? I'm going to have to go back and read it now. I got to go double check it. Pretty sure you said something about having the utmost respect, something of that nature. Now, hold on. Let me go find it. I want to make sure I quote this correct. The men on the ground of GHF who are distributing aid in Gaza will always have my utmost respect for the personal sacrifices they are doing to feed the starving people in Gaza.
Every site has a team of guards that stay on the site 24.
This is how you respect men on the ground that are feeding people in Gaza. You give the enemy fucking information that can get them killed.
4 hours. We do a so every site is allocated static security teams, and they rotate. Then after rotations of that, a team gets. So you have teams dedicated to the site to rotate every four and then days off. And that's at every site. I know that there are seven of us in the entire world that have been to these sites. SRS people don't go to the sites. They're not authorized to. GHF doesn't go to the sites. They're not authorized to. The IDF don't go to the sites. They're not allowed on them. There are only seven people in this entire world. Actually, shame on you.
I didn't spin a narrative. I literally took the information that he provided to the enemies of the United States of America, condensed it, and redacted the shit that he gave. And he ought to know better as a retired lieutenant colonel and a Green Beret. That's what he ought to be. He ought to freaking know better. You can be pissed off at the world. You can hate what's going on. But when you go around and you make a statement the day before that says you have the utmost respect for the men on the ground, people that are in a brotherhood, that piece of shit just got kicked the fuck out, if I can guarantee it. That then wants to turn around and call me a disgrace for telling the world that he fucking lied. Because he lied. He lied to my face. He lied to you. He lied to the freaking world. And he doesn't have the balls to say it. You know how many opportunities I gave that man to come forward after catching him in his lies and then telling him, I caught you in your lies? Do you know how many? A lot. Showed it to him. Showed it to him. You know what he told me? The emails that he says that he sent for his receipts or whatever, for his letter of resignation or him quitting, He said he originally, I'm pretty sure, said he sent those in emails. Well, now it's in a disappearing signal chat. FYI, everybody. He doesn't have them. That's what he said. He sent them in a disappearing signal chat. Yep. So good luck ever finding those, because they probably don't exist. Just like half of his story. I got a great example too. You guys remember when I had him on? Let's just keep going. You guys remember when I had him on? Not when he lied to me to my face about him quitting on the 30th and then taking it back the next day, and not being able to remember about it. Oh, that's right. You guys remember this part?
And when the tank came up into position, it parks. And when the Markava tank, you know, it's a very big tank. And when he parked, at first it was still sitting high. And then he went into that sit mode, that lower hydraulic, which is usually they're preparing to, you know, potentially, not saying that he initially, I thought that it was, but indicator that, you know, going down onto its level spot, that it's going to shoot its main gun.
Right.
And the gun starts to swivel, and the gun turns right towards me. And I can hear you in the video. You can hear me. I'm like, Hey, like, I'm here. And right at about that moment, one of the stun grenades goes off, and I catch a face full of tear gas, and I'm coughing, and I'm falling to the ground, and I'm moving out, and I'm behind the berm. Another individual that was on top of the berm, saw the round fire. But that was the incident that the Markava tank that had pulled up had fired at the white vehicle. And again, my perception of it was that vehicle was people that were leaving. But as Matt had brought it to me, you're right. I didn't hear IDF communications on the radios in terms of what intelligence there was or what that potential threat could have been.
So he didn't know that it was a civilian vehicle. Glad we established that. Let's go back and reference his original statement, shall we? Before I show you why you shouldn't say dumb shit like that. Hey, my disgrace to the community, a retired sergeant first class, had to remind a lieutenant colonel that intelligence drives operations.
Forces shooting at the crowds of Palestinians. I witnessed the Israeli Defense Forces firing a main gun tank round from the Markava tank into a crowd of people, destroying a car of civilians.
Destroying a car of civilians. That's what he said. A main gun tank round through a crowd of people into a car, killing civilians. Interesting. You know why you don't say dumb shit like that, Tony? You know why? You know why you don't say dumb shit like that? Maybe you ought to fucking study the area that you're going into there, boss, before you go in there. Here's why you don't say dumb shit like that. Oh, look, innocent people with orange vests on. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, they got rifles. I wonder why. What are they doing with all those guns? Oh my God. Holy shit. Look at that. It's almost like if that happened, they probably saved your life. And you're out here whining and complaining about being alive today. Look at those civilian vehicles filled with freaking insurgents. You would think that he retired Lieutenant Colonel would know better. You would think. Somebody with years of combat experience against radical Islamic jihadists, you would think he would know better. You would also think, when he sends an email to a reporter that probably finds out Amir's alive, that he would be happy that Amir's alive. Remember him crying about it? You think he would be happy? What if he wasn't? What if he sent an email that, I mean, just shows literally no fucks about Amir and tries to discredit said reporter? I'm just saying it's a possibility. It's not like I would have any evidence of anything like that, would I? Small world, Tony. It's a small world, boss. Very, very small world. You want to hear something great? Got this email today. As a member of the team on the ground, it is refreshing to see an accurate, non-biased assessment of the situation. We've been, again, to see an accurate, non-biased assessment of the situation. We've been pelted by the media for doing everything wrong, supporting war crimes, or being a tool of the IDF. It is tiring, mentally, trying to do good things in a hard situation when it seems everyone is against you. Not that would stop any of us from doing the right things, still. But if the world is against you, then the contract or opportunity could go away, and that's the focus people need to see about this. Not just my job or income for my family, but feeding these people and trying to help build a better life than what they have known for a very long time. And it keeps going. What horrible human beings. And I wonder where the media got the idea from that that's what those contractors are doing. I wonder if it's from somebody that claims to have the utmost respect from them. I wonder, maybe, just maybe, if somebody that claims that he has the utmost respect for them is the one that put that into the minds of the media. I wonder. I'm going to state this story again. You want to know why I'm pissed? Because that's not how it is. I talked to a guy. Tony actually knows him. It's a pretty small world, Tony. I hope your heart just skipped a beat. What this guy said was down on SDS1, his heart broke. His heart broke when they had to clear the site out because it reminded him of the Band of Brothers scene when they had to put people back inside. Like the only way he could describe it, like how heartbreaking it was for him, was he had to do that. He had to push the people out as they were getting, like, they had overrun the place and everything else, and they're frantically trying to grab food, and it broke his soul. What a horrible human being. I bet a guy like that would rejoice to know that Amir was alive. To know that there's a possibility that Amir's alive. That might actually ask the reporter if there's a way that he could talk to the mom. Seeing how the mom wanted to find him. I wonder if he asked any of that stuff. I don't think he did. It's pretty messed up. The people that are actually feeding the people on the ground on a daily basis, he comes on here trashing on. The guy, the only guy in the community that's going to give his ass an honest shake, taught shit for it, uncovered the truth, and reported the truth like he told him he would report the truth, and he's upset about it because he got caught lying to me and to you. And then, because of that, I'm tempted to play that whole interview for you guys, but then it would just get it more views. Some little garbage YouTube account. And, you know, I'd be tempted to play that for you. But instead, I want to remind you guys, this guy that has the utmost respect for people.
When we get to the sites, every site has a team of guards that stay on the site 24 hours. We do a So every site is allocated static security teams, and they rotate. Then after rotations of that, a team gets. So you have
utmost respect.
Teams dedicated to the site to rotate every four and then days off, and that's at every site. I know that there are seven of us in the entire world that have been to these sites. SRS people don't go to the sites; they're not authorized to. GHF doesn't go to the sites; they're not authorized to. The IDF don't go to the sites; they're not allowed on them. There are only 27 people in this entire world.
Oh, I'm sorry. How many people in the company, Tony? Tell the enemy how many people they have again. They didn't hear you.
There are only 27 people in this entire world. Shame on you.
Thanks for clarifying how many people there are in the company, because your original number wasn't accurate enough to give the enemy. Asshole. I hope you get everything that you deserve in this world. Everything you deserve in this world. I'll remind the... Do you realize I need to stop? I'd like to talk to you guys about this now, because nobody else wants to. I'll go over it. 18 U.S. Code 2339A, providing material support to terrorists, covers giving any service or expert advice or assistance to be used in preparation for or in carrying out acts of terrorism, disclosing movement patterns, security rotation, or routes in a foreign terror organization. Definitely falls underneath that. So let's go take a look at what some of those things are. Excuse me while I pull up the elements of the crime for you guys. I just want to read out to you guys the elements of the crime for that particular U.S. code. Let me know if you guys think that what you just heard fits. The defendant provided, attempted to provide, or conspired to provide material support or resources defined in 2339A B1 as any property, tangible or intangible, or service, including currency or monetary instruments, financial services, lodging, training, expert advice or assistance, safe houses, false documentation or identification, communications equipment, facilities, weapons, lethal substances, explosives, personal transportation, or other figures, physical assets, except medicine or religious materials. Expert advice includes specialized knowledge, which would include security rotations, routes, the number of personnel in a combat zone. Here's my favorite part. It must be knowing or intending to aid in preparation for or in carrying out one of those crimes. Killing or destroying property in the U.S. or abroad. Attacks against U.S. nationals overseas. Not U.S. service members, U.S. nationals. I'm pretty sure the contractors that are over there are U.S. nationals. Attacks on federal facilities, aircraft, maritime targets, conspiracy to kill in a foreign country. Now, here's my favorite part. Goes down into knowledge or intent. The defendant knew or intended that the material support or resources would be used in preparation for or big word in law, or in carrying out one of the predicate terrorism offenses. In this case, it would read, the defendant knew that the material support or resources would be used in preparation for or in carrying out one of the predicate terrorism offenses. This doesn't require proof the defendant wanted the attack to happen, just that they knew or intended the information could be used for that purpose. Could be. And how do we establish mens rea, ladies and gentlemen? Let's talk about it. Well, he would have to be disgruntled. Is there evidence that he's a disgruntled employee? Yes, there is. Do I hold personal evidence? Yes, I do. Do I also know that he should have known, as Lieutenant Colonel, recently retired, that that is exactly what terrorists could do with that information? And you don't base it off of your average person. No, no, no. The reasonable person standard applies to a reasonable person with similar background and experience. I'll say that again. If a Fox News reporter went over there and said that, they will get held to a different standard than, say, a retired lieutenant colonel from the Special Forces. Why? Because he's got experience in this arena and self-proclaimed on his own a lot. He said it plenty. So he reasonably would have known that saying that shit can get people killed. What words did he use at the end of this?
Shame on you. What we do.
Shame on you. That's right. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Man, if only I would have freaking known. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Disgusted doesn't even begin to describe the feeling in my stomach tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Disgusted doesn't even begin to describe it. I'm very curious about what some of the questions we have in here. Cletus says, I don't really know what the F to say. I'm with you, Cletus. Smokey Sergeant says, if I could only say what I want to say right now. Go ahead, Smokey. Go ahead. I'll say it for you, man. Just type it in there all angry like and tag me in the comment, man. You just let me know. Don Booz, angry Matt is the best, Matt. Cletus, again, he's taken back. Doesn't know what else to say. It's freaking a disgrace. I don't know how else to say that. It's embarrassing. And it's treasonous, in my opinion. It's one thing when you go around and you lie to my face on the podcast about when and why you sent that message. Or that you quit. It's another thing. Absolute another thing. When you put American lives at risk. You are a disgrace. Not to the uniform, which I believe you are. That's not what I'm talking about. As a man, you're a disgrace. As an American, you're a disgrace. You know that providing that information puts lives at risk, and you did it anyways. Tempted to go listen to the softball question he threw you that managed to have you spin off on that tangent. What was it, a general overview? And then you went into specifics of security? Weird. Heartless soul, he knows what he's doing. He knows he has endangered lives. He is only out for himself. Nuh-uh, man. He cares about Amir, remember? And cried for him. Cried. I'm sure he rejoiced today in an email. I'm sure he rejoiced today in an email to a reporter that possibly found Amir alive. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he was celebrating and was like, oh my God, lady, you're the best. Thank you for finding Amir. I can't believe he might actually be alive. I'm going to go tell the world. I am so happy. And it happened to be the same one that he interviewed. Pretty sure. Over on TikTok, on a very, very pro-Palestinian account. Tony doesn't have social media. Can't wait to break into that groundbreaking report next about who sent you that email and who you went on air with raising money. Pretty sure on that TikTok, their translator said that Amir was dead and you were raising money for him on TikTok. And now the same woman, wouldn't it be damning if there was a proper translation of the Arabic and she says he's alive. And after you went on TikTok and raised money for a kid that she doesn't think is dead. She said, the same one you said was her mother. You called her his mother. You raised money for that woman. You think I forgot about that, Tony? You raised money for that woman. And according to your interviewer, her kid was dead. But now that same woman with a proper Arabic translator says he's alive. Doesn't look so hot for you now, does it, boss? Wait till that shit comes out tomorrow. You bet your ass I saved that clip. How stupid are you?
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.